as long as things are now restricted and things, I'm sure things are going to get better. And I personally believe by December, things are going to be way better because I foresee the month of December, things being normal. And so as long as things are getting coming back on track, I mean, in the prayer meetings, we are all going to focus lots on lots on theological aspects, or more on teachings, or more on understanding the heart and the character of God. Amen. So when I'm saying this, we need to understand that we are trying to, it's not something very high and complex that we are going to understand, but these are foundational things about God that we need to understand. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so lot of focus these days, you see, is more on the teachings that I'm focusing on. You know, when it is coming to prophecy and prophetic, I can keep ministering. We will have a time where we're going to focus only on the prophetic very soon, only on healing and all that stuff. But I believe right now we're just building ourselves on foundations. Amen? Because if we are not built on foundations, what happens is we see a lot of crowd coming, jumping in for prophetic healing, miracles and all that. And suddenly you bring some new concepts, they disappear. Amen? Okay? But that's because they cannot digest the matured food. Okay? So sometimes I believe you're matured enough that you are able to digest the solid food that the word is giving you. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so today I want to speak on something really, really, really amazing. I've been waiting to speak on this particular topic. So you see, I spoke on Lucifer does not exist. Last time I spoke on the misunderstood message of the cross. And you got to listen to that message to also understand what I'm going to preach today. Amen. And you know, it's quite amazing when I speak on certain topic, I see many other preachers well known in the line of thought that I align with, they also start speaking on the similar topics, and I'm like, wow, it's something happening in the spiritual realm. Amen. That frequency is released in that realm, and I see all of them talking on the same topic. And so it gives me confirmation that I need to talk about this particular topic to every one of you. Amen. So that you too get aligned to what God is trying to reveal in this season. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So even I was listening to some sermons and all that stuff. All were in that same line. Now this, what I'm going to speak to you is, there was a discussion that happened with me, with somebody who was an atheist, who does not believe in God. And I had to speak to that guy, to that person, the gospel. I had to tell the person the gospel. How do you tell a person who does not believe in God or who is of other religion the gospel? Amen. And so the conversation started with a dinner. By the end of the conversation, this guy who did not believe in Christian God started saying, I am Christ, Christ is everywhere, and I am Son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I want to share with you this whole gospel, because the problem is there is this evangelical way where people preach the gospel, and I don't agree with that way. But there is another way, and you can also see that. First, I'm going to speak about the gospel that is shared in this place. Amen. And that is, I'm going to share it with something called as the gospel in the chairs. Amen. Come on, somebody be excited. Amen. Amen is not an excitement. Somebody be excited. Yeah, hallelujah. You got to understand, empty vessels should make more. So, yeah, you got to make more noise. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, can we be excited? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so we have this gospel in the chairs. Amen. And how do we do this? We have, somebody has a dupatta. Can you give me this cloth? Give me a cloth. Okay, so we have, this is the old way of preaching the gospel. Amen. So we have God here. Okay, so this is God with all stars and all that stuff. And this is man here. So God creates man. And what happens is, man falls into sin. He disobeys God, eats the fruit of the tree, right? And then man is fallen into sin. And here we see God, because man has fallen into sin, this is old way of preaching the gospel, an understanding of God, an understanding of how the gospel in the old traditional way. In fact, it is not really traditional. It's just invented by modern Christians, evangelical Christians. And so now God and men are both against each other. Amen. And so man is all the time trying to please God. But God is against men. And here, God cannot see sin of men. Are you there with me? Because he's so holy, he's so pure, that he cannot really bear sin. So he's all the time against men. And man is trying to please God, but it does not happen, because the Bible says, man's righteousness is like filthy rags. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you there with me? So every time you see God is having a conversation with man, like in the life of Cain, Cain again falls into sin by killing Abel, and there's again division, enmity between Cain and Abel. Amen? Are you there with me? So then, again, whenever you see God and Abraham coming together, God is telling Abraham, I'm going to give you a child. And again, you see Abraham is trying to have a child through a slave girl, and God is again against. Right? But Abraham is running after God, and God is against Abraham because he has fallen into sin. Amen? Are you understanding me? So then, somehow, Moses comes in the picture, and then you see Moses again falling back into sin. Then we have God going back, and there's enmity between God and man. Amen? Then Israel comes in the picture. Again, we see covenants happening, and still Israel breaks the covenant, and we see again enmity between God and men. Amen? And all these things, if you see entire Bible, now even if you see David and God is trying to have covenant, David is trying to please God. Again, David falls into sin with Bathsheba. God is upset and angry. In fact, this chair has to be turning first, because God cannot tolerate evil and sin. And we see there's again division, enmity, because God cannot really bear sin. And so it goes on into the entire Old Testament. Jesus comes, and what happens is Jesus, God comes in the form of Jesus, and when he comes in the form of Jesus, he dies on the cross. And so when he is dying on the cross, God, who is supposed to punish man, pours his wrath, who was supposed to pour his wrath on men, start pouring his wrath on Jesus. Are you there with me? And so, now, he makes Jesus, what he does is, he makes God and men friends back again to his death on the cross. So whenever God tries to see men, he tries to see it through Jesus. Okay? So now, if at all, this man needs to reconcile with God, he has to believe in Jesus. Amen. And if this man if this man dies without believing in Jesus, what happens is God is again against this man because he has not believed in Jesus. You see? And this man is thrown into hell. I understand? Do you understand? But if this man dies believing in Jesus, he doesn't go into hell, but he goes into heaven. Amen? Are you understanding this? This is the traditional way of understanding the gospel, or the modern or the mainstream way of understanding the gospel. Amen? But what is actually, if you see very minutely, how is God's character and nature portrayed in the Bible? Do you understand? So let's go back, and this is our way, how it really happens. So God loves man, creates man, he loves man, he wants to have relationship with man. Man disobeys and he runs away from God. Amen. But we see that God comes running after him, even though he's wearing his fig leaf underwear. God is searching for him and saying, "Hey, where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve?" And then he gives them leather clothes. Yeah? Then we see Cain falling into sin. God says, "Hey, Cain, sin is roaring like a lion in your life, but don't submit to him." Yet Cain falls into sin, and God goes running after Cain, and he marks Cain with a mark, saying, "You will be protected no matter where you go." Again, you see God trying to fix man and love him and running after men with his constant love. Are you there? And then you see Abraham and God, and God telling Abraham, "Abraham, I'm going to give you a child, and you shall become numerous. Your descendants shall become numerous in this world." And Abraham tries to do it with a slave girl. Amen. Even though he does it with a slave girl, tries to bring a child, God still runs after Abraham, and then he gives him Isaac. Are you there with me? Then we see David and God having wonderful conversation. They are in love. But then David falls into sin with Bathsheba. And yet God is running after David with his love. He never turns himself from David. He's running towards David. And then he still tells David, your son Solomon shall rule and reign your kingdom. Amen. And you see, right, in the whole Old Testament, you see God, in fact, is not changing. He's constantly loving men and tries to make men understand that he is loved by him. And his love is unconditional love. Amen. Now the same God becomes man, comes on earth. His name is Jesus. And when you see a man lying on a mat, filled with sin or suffering because of his sin, this for 30 years, this Jesus goes to him and says, your sins are forgiven, pick up your mat and move ahead, reconciles that man back to him. It was Jesus who ran to him. It was God who went to him. Amen. And then you see this woman who had one husband, two husbands, three husbands, right? Four husbands, 6 husbands, who comes near the well, and Jesus is waiting for her near the well. And this same woman is now shown the love of Christ, and this woman goes and starts proclaiming who Jesus is to her whole village. Amen. Now you see another woman who has committed adultery, and they are all waiting to throw stones on her, and Jesus comes and says, I don't condemn you. I will not throw stone on you. Go and sin no more. And he reconciles her back to him. Are you there with me? So even when Peter denies him, Jesus still meets him and reconciles him to him. You understand? You see, this chair so long is not turning this way. It's still after men with his constant love. Amen. Now, this Jesus dies on the cross, gives his life. Amen. Gives his life. And now, even if somebody dies, he still continues to pursue that person back to him. Because the Bible says, when he died on the cross, he went down to the Hades and still tried to convince people who were dead in the Hades to come back and realize his unconditional love. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says, through the death of Jesus on the cross, he has reconciled all men to him. Not God to men. This is the real version of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, the question, the thing that I want to explain to you is this. Man has been in a constant battle or struggle to know who God is. Are you there with me? Whole humanity has something inside which tells them that there is a God. Am I clear with you? From North Pole to South Pole, to the East to the West, you go to any area of the earth, you will see every tribe, every nation, every tongue having this idea that there is God. Okay. In other words, everyone is seeking to understand who, or to know who God is. And so, everyone knows that there is one creator who created the whole universe, who created this earth, who created this whole everything, who created me and who created you. Everyone has an understanding that there is a creator. Am I right or wrong? Right or wrong? Yes. And so, now, the problem is all of them know that there is a creator, but the problem is they don't know what is the name of that creator. Come on. So the Jews say his name is Yahweh. In fact, there is no name in Judaism. There is no name for God. Are you there with me? So they would literally breathe the name. So for them, the breath itself was an indication that there is God out there. But they never had a name for that God. And you see in the entire Old Testament that this nameless God, man is trying to give a name. Adam does not know the name of God. Hello? Tell me, in the creation, is the name of God mentioned? No. So, the word El Elyon means God Almighty. There's no, it's not a name of God. It means God Almighty. Jacob sees a dream, and there are places like Abraham goes and sacrifices, and he says, God the provider. So they all are giving God a name. But God is not giving a name. He's not saying, I am this, I am that. But people are understanding when their needs are met, they are saying, this God must be God the provider, Jehovah Jireh. When someone gets healed, he's saying, this is Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. Amen. So this God is given name in the entire Old Testament. Now Moses does not know who this God is. So Moses has an encounter with God, and he asks God, God, I'm going to go to this people, Hebrew people, but tell me one thing, what is your name? What shall I tell them your name is? And the answer is funny. God tells Moses, say, I am who I am. Funny answer. Moses goes to the people of Hebrew people. He's going to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh asks him, which is that God? What's his name who has sent you? Imagine. Ask me, what's the name of my God? I'm Moses, you're Pharaoh, come here. Take the mic. Yeah. Quickly. You're Pharaoh, I'm Moses. Ask me, what's the name of my God?
What's the name of your God?
I am. Can you believe this? Pharaoh is asking me, what's the name of my God? I'm saying, I am God. Are you understanding? I'm saying to Pharaoh, I am who I am, has sent me to you. Pharaoh probably thinks Moses is gone. Sit down. So God is trying to reveal there some kind of message to Pharaoh. I don't want to go deep into that. And so if you see everywhere in the Bible, God is mentioned, God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. But what's his name? We don't know. God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. What's his name? We don't know. So now I'm just talking to you about 6 lakh people during Moses' time. But there are millions of people all over the earth. Isn't it unfair that God is revealing himself only to 6 lakh people? What about the other people? Hello? So my take is this, that every nation, every tribe, every culture knows that there is supreme God, including the Jews, but they don't know his name. They only know that there is one God, there's a universal God who has created the whole universe. That's it, full stop. Someone is calling it Jehovah Rapha, someone is calling him God of Moses, someone is calling him I am, someone is calling him Yahweh, they don't use that word, Yahweh. Someone is calling something else. And so there is this constant battle to understand who this God is. And so everyone derives to a conclusion and try to have their own understanding of this ultimate supreme being. Are you with me? And this is what I want to tell you. The people in the Old Testament did not understand who that God was. They were not better than anybody else. The other religions, the Philistines or whoever they were, they had a God, and they believed this God, like for example, in a place where there are a lot of volcanoes happening. Are you understanding me? Lot of volcanoes happening, lot of earthquake happening. You know what they would do? They would think, oh, to please this God of volcanoes, to bring this volcanoes down, they would sacrifice children, shed blood, and do all those things because they thought that's the way to please God. And that same understanding has come into Christianity. Christians think that in order to put the anger of God down, we need to give him a sacrifice. So we believe Jesus is that sacrifice. Come on, this is deep. Hello. So everybody thinks this God, this supreme God, was angry, was frustrated with man because of his sin. So what we need to do, we need to sacrifice, we need to, in order to please him, we need to shed the blood. And when that is done, the anger of this God, the supreme being, whatever his name is, his name might be Yahweh, Jehovah, Jireh, Baal, Molech, whatever his name is, he will be satisfied only with a sacrifice. And so every religion, if you notice, there is a sacrifice. But is Why was every religion in the world trying to give him sacrifice? Because they were not able to understand the real heart and character of God. So, the religion majority in India, they tried to do something else. For them, their God was this. I hope, I don't want to take name and fall in trouble, but I'm just telling you. And they try to please, they try to do all worship, they try to work hard to please this God. Which God? I'm not saying the God that they believe is not a God. You got to really understand what I'm talking. Try to understand what I say. Okay? I mean, don't try to understand just what I say, what I mean. Try to understand that. So we are like, let me take the names. So because I'm talking about every religion, including Christianity. So the Hindus are thinking that this God, I need to please because he is upset with me. The Muslims are thinking, this God I need to please because he's upset with me. The Jews are thinking, this God I need to please because he's upset with me. And the modern Christians think that this God is upset with me, I need to please because he's upset with me. So religion is all about pleasing this God who is upset with you. Are you there with me? Are you there with me? And so, we could not understand, who is this God? What's his name? What is his character? Amen, are you with me? And God sees all this. Mind you, please understand, even the Jews had no knowledge of the real God. Had no full knowledge of real God. Don't think the Jewish God was the real God. Every religion had only little understanding of the real God. Are you with me? They had no full understanding of real God. But was God revealing himself to every person on earth? And the answer is yes. Otherwise, you are saying God is partial God because he only revealed himself to the Jews. Are you there with me? God tried to reveal to Hindus who he is. And when I'm saying, I'm not talking about Christian God. I'm not talking about Jewish God. I'm not talking about Islam God. I'm talking about God, the supreme, the divine being who rules this whole world. He's trying to talk. He's trying to reveal who he is to every religion, tribe, and nation. But the problem is, they can't understand him. And so they gave him name according to what they think the name is. Are you there with me? So someone called him Yahweh, someone called him Jehovah, someone called him Elohim, someone called him Brahma, someone called him Allah, someone called him whatever he believes he is. Amen. But the truth is, this God had no name. But this God surely had character. He had a nature. Are you there with me? And he wanted to reveal his nature to all humanity. Because humanity was living under fear that when you do something wrong, this God is going to finish them off. And so this God, to show who he is, becomes man. Are you there? And when he becomes man, he starts showing his character, who he really is. So when the angel came to Mary, he said, the name of your child is, he said, Emmanuel. But make a note, no one calls him Emmanuel. Tell me, after that, anybody calls him Emmanuel in the Bible? The angel was not trying to give a name to that God. Try to understand. The angel was trying to reveal what God is he. Meaning, God, even if you sin, he is with you. Amen. Even you run away, he is with you. Therefore, Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I go from your presence? When I go down into hell, even there, you are there. Amen. Hallelujah. You understand? So, when Gabriel said, your child's name is going to be Emmanuel, he's not really giving name, he's trying to give the character and the heart of God. And now, he's called Jesus Christ, meaning Yeshua in Hebrew means, Yeshua means God who saves, salvation. Yeshua means God who saves, salvation. Again, it's not just a name, it's the character of God. So which God do you Christians believe? We don't believe the name Jesus. We believe that name which is a character called as Jesus. We believe in that divine being, the supreme being who saves you and me. We believe in that supreme being who is with us. We believe in that divine being who has no name, but who is our Messiah. So the whole message that God was trying to convey right from Genesis, right from the beginning of the world, right from the creation, is that I am with you. I am your savior. I'm here to save you, not to punish you. Because humanity had this wrong notion that this God is all the time after him or her to punish, to destroy. And so he was called Jesus Christ, meaning the Savior. Amen. Try to understand. The way we think. In Hebrew, he was called Yeshua. Are you there? In English, it is called Jesus. It's called Jesus. In Hindi, he's called Yeshu. In Konkani, it's called Jesu. So what is his actual name? Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? See, if my name is Vernal, in English it is Vernal. In Hindi it is Vernal. In Konkani it is Vernal. In whichever language you call it, it is Vernal, right? Right? But this guy, in Hebrew, he is Yeshua. In Greek, it is Jesus. In English, it is Jesus. In Konkani, it is Jesu. In Hindi, it is Yeshu. So what exactly is, hey Christians, what exactly is the name of your God? And then there are those people who fight. No, you should call him only Yeshua, because in Hebrew he was called as Yeshua. And Jesus is not a right name. It is a pagan name. Hallelujah. There is nothing in the name, but there is something in the message of that name. Amen. Hallelujah. There's nothing in the name. There is something in the message of that name. Jesus is not just a name. Jesus is a message. Okay, hey, everybody say with me. Jesus is not just a name. It's a message. And what was the message that God was trying to tell right from the beginning of the creation? I am with you. I am going to save you. I am your salvation. Yeshua means I am your salvation. Amen. And so John chapter 1 verse 4, can we read that today? Now, I'm going to tell you what is the real name of God. Amen. Can we read chapter 4, verse 7.
Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes...
Okay, let me read this. I'll read it. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. Amen? And look at this. And everyone who loves is born of God. And knows God. Say every once again. Who? Someone. Who? Jews. Christians. Hindus. Muslims. It says everyone who loves is born of God. And knows God. So when your Hindu friend loves you or loves someone, don't be under an impression he does not know God. He knows God. But for him, he has given that God, maybe that name is Brahma. Your Muslim friend, he loves God. He loves people. If he loves people, don't think his God, whom he calls Allah, is a wrong God. I hope you're getting my point and don't misunderstand me. So the Jews, if you think that is wrong and that is wrong, their God is their wrong and their God, you should also believe that Jews' God was wrong God. So the Jews are calling him Jehovah Jireh. And yet, if you know that they know, they have recognized love, they know what is love, what they worship is that supreme God. I hope you understand, yeah? Little deep, okay? Very highly logical. Now see, he who does not love does not know God. Everyone say, he who does not love does not know God. This is going to slap a Christian on the face. If you think Jesus is God, If you think Jesus is God, but you are not able to love somebody who is having different opinion, different doctrine, different church, and different denomination, actually you don't know God. That Jesus is just a name. The point that I'm making is, for Jews, Jehovah Jireh became just a name. But they really did not know God, because they did not know that God is love. For the Jews, Yahweh was just a name. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sitkenu, Jehovah Nisi, all were just names, but they could not understand or know God until they come to know that God is love. If you are a Christian and if you have a name for your God, that is Jesus, but you don't understand that this Jesus is an unconditional love, that's just a name, you really don't know God. If you are non-Christian and you have follow other religion and you have a name for your God, but you don't understand that God is love, is just a name, you don't actually know God. Amen. Are you understanding? So look at this, look at this. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Perfect definition of God. The entire Bible sums up into this one verse. God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his... Listen to this. This love, that God is love. For you, it might be Brahma. Try to understand that Brahma, that ultimate God, is love. For you, it might be Allah. Try to understand that Allah, his ultimate character, that ultimate being, is love. For if you are Jew, for you it is Yahweh. Try to understand that ultimate being, that Yahweh, his actual name is love. If you don't understand his actual name, that is love, his actual being, that is love, his actual character, that is love, the name is just useless. Are you understanding? And so he's saying that in this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, look at this, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sin. Amen. Come on, try to understand. You can be worshipper of Allah, Brahma, you or Yahweh or any God, but you have to understand that God loves you unconditionally. If you understand that, that is that real God. Are you understanding? Now, the problem is, the Jews, even the Christians, no one can really understand how much that God loves you. Until and unless you look at the cross. The cross is the manifestation of his true love. So when you look at the cross and you say, God became man, and I'm not in concern about the name of the person who's dying on the cross. I'm concerned about what is really happening on the cross. On the cross, that person who's dying on the cross is trying to reveal to you and me that he, God, the supreme divine being who has no name, loves you and me unconditionally. So you are not able to understand his love until you see the guy on the cross. Come on, hallelujah. Are you there with me? How do you understand the love of God? You have to look at the cross. You have to look at that person dying on the cross who says, I love you unconditionally. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, let me tell you, I've written this. And I want to, I've written this because, you know, people try to misunderstand what I'm really saying. Amen. So I don't want to confuse people or make them use my words and misunderstand and, you know, make stories and make me a heretic. So this is what I want to say. God does not have religion. Our God is not Jewish God. Our God is not Christian God. Our God is not other religious God. God has no religion. Am I right? God does not have a name. Amen. God has a message that was enacted by he becoming man and dying on the cross. And the message is that he is unconditional love. Hallelujah. If you understand this message, you know God. Hallelujah. Because the problem is, every religion is trying to say that they know God. The Jews are saying, we know God. Our God is the true God. The Jews are saying to Christians, we know God. Our God is true God. Your God is not the true God. Are you there? Christian is telling the Jew, our God is the real God. Your God is not the real God. The Hindu is saying, my God is real God. Our God is real God. And our God only exists in India. All your gods are not real God. But the Jew is saying, my God, and the Christian is saying, my God is from Israel. Hallelujah. And all you guys, you don't have God. The Muslim is saying, my God is the real God. All your gods are not the real God. Amen. Let me tell you, God has no religion. He's not based on one nation or locality or a tongue or a language. Hallelujah. The real God is unconditional love. And you can understand that unconditional love only when you come to know this gospel, this story, that there was this guy, I shall not name him, because Saint Paul never names him in one place, and I will tell you where. But there was this guy who died on the cross. This guy was God, became man, and he died for everybody. And on the third day, he rose back again. And this is his story, and this is his message. He unconditionally loves you and me. Now, even if you are a Jew, you can be and continue as a Jew, but you have to understand your Yahweh unconditionally loves you. You can be Hindu and you can look at the cross and you can understand your Brahma unconditionally loves you. Come on, it sounds scandalous. You can be in Islam and you can look at Allah, but you can look at that God, Allah becoming man, dying on the cross, and you can understand your God, Allah, is love. He unconditionally loves you. God has no book. I said God has no book. God has no religion. God has no language. God has no specific tribe. God is love. Amen. And not just love, it's called agape love. It means unconditional love. So no matter what you do, so this is the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel in the chairs I explained to you. No matter how much you are running away from God, He is still pursuing you and He still loves you. I think He deserves a big hand of applause. You have to understand this. I'll read this. I don't want to miss anything. I just written it down. So no matter which religion you belong to, and no matter what is the name of your God, if you believe that this supreme and universal being became man and died on the cross and revealed His unconditional love to you, no matter what you believe His name is, you have believed in the right God. Hallelujah. God is unconditional love. His true name is unconditional love. His religion is unconditional love. To people who are not Christians, I want to say this. And who are listening to me. To people who are not Christians, I am not introducing to you another God. I'm not introducing to you a foreign God. Amen. I'm introducing to you your own God, whom you believe, who wants to show His true unconditional love to you. And that's where, you know, I try to understand. The disciples went everywhere, right? All over the world. Thomas came down to India. What do you think he was preaching? How he was preaching the gospel? Hey, Indians, you know, Yahweh down there in Israel. El Elyon down there in Israel, He was their God. He became man. He died on the cross. Please believe in that God. I don't think so. Thomas said and came and said, do you know the God that you believe in? He really loves you unconditionally. But He had become man to show His love in this place called as Jerusalem, and He died on the cross. He unconditionally loves you. He will always love you, no matter what. So there is no question about conversion here. If you are religious, you can convert from one religion to another religion. Christianity is never about religion. There is no conversions. Hallelujah. In fact, the word Christians was given first by pagans to the followers of Jesus. Amen. There's never Christians who called themselves Christians. Amen. It was called the way. Everyone said the way. Because Jesus said, I am the life, the truth, and the way to, very good. I thought you said to heaven. People think Jesus was the way to heaven. Read the whole scripture properly. Jesus was the way to God. Hallelujah. He unveiled love. That the supreme being, you call what name it was, that supreme being loved you and loved me. And if you understand that message, you have well understood the message of the cross. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. Come on. You see the problem is, this is the problem. We think See, you have to understand. There is difference between Jesus and there is difference between Christ. Someday I'll explain more detail. What do you mean? Imagine people are saying this. Israel God is the one God and the true God. Are you there with me? And that God revealed himself through the Bible. Are you there with me? This Bible was only made in fullness available just 500 years ago. How many years ago? And for you and for me, for English speakers, it has been massively been used just 100 years ago. Amen? That means, do you want to say that God was not available to men for so many years? And God became available to man only for 100 years? That's why I preach on Christ consciousness. I want to tell you, scriptures are not just written on the book. And God does not speak only. God does not speak only through this book called as Bible. Right from the creation of the world, God spoke through everything. Christ did not come 2,000 years ago. Jesus came 2,000 years ago. But Christ came right from the beginning of the creation. And that Christ was present in everything that we see. That's called Christ consciousness. Christ was available not only for Israel. Christ was available for every religion on the earth. Christ was available for every nation on the earth. Christ was available for every tribe on the earth. Amen. God was available everywhere. God was not just sitting in Israel, guys. Hello? Are you there with me? God was not in Jerusalem only, guys. And therefore, Jesus came. You see, Jesus reveals the heart of the Father. People think forgiveness of sin. God started forgiving people only after the death of Jesus. But what was the truth? Even before he died on the cross, he was forgiving. The whole message, the old message is this. The old message is, God, Jesus is trying to save, right? Save you from whom? Ask normal Christians, ask church-going Christians now. God was trying to save you from whom? And they will say, God was trying to save me. Jesus was trying to save me from punishment from God. From the wrath of God. From the anger of God. From God throwing me into hell. From God. So basically, do you mean to say Jesus was saving you on the cross from God? Are you there with me? Jesus was not saving you and me from God. Rather, God was saving us from our fallen nature, from death, from fear, from sickness, from diseases. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God was saving us from all these things. And we have this idea, on the cross, Jesus was saving us from God. Amen. God always wanted to forgive. You see, we have this concept where we think you have to pay for your forgiveness. Right? Can you come here? Can you come here? Okay. Rob this Bible from me. He has robbed this Bible from me. Now, if I say, I forgive you, Does he have to pay me for that Bible? Are you sure? So what is Jesus doing on the cross? If God is forgiving us, do Jesus have to pay me? I'll explain to you again. Come, you come here. Hey, you stand here. You come here fast, quickly. Now, rob this. The old concept. Either you have to pay me for that Bible. The old concept is like this. Sorry, I'll explain to you like this. Now, you have robbed the Bible. You have to pay me 7 times, right? So the old concept is this. Jesus comes. Now, I'm God. He robbed from me. Are you understanding? I'm God. He robbed it from me. Jesus comes, stands here, dies on the cross, and pays for the Bible. This is the old concept. Okay? But when he's dying, he's saying, Father, forgive me. Either you pay or either you forgive. Either you pay, if I say, I forgive you, you can take it. Does he have to pay? Does this guy have to come in between? No. Are you understanding? So either it's forgiveness, either it's payment. Remember, it's not payment. God always wanted to forgive us. And the death of Jesus on the cross is a manifestation of his forgiveness. Hallelujah. Jesus is not paying God on the cross. Are you understanding? Jesus is not paying any your sins to God on the cross. He is revealing that God forgives you and forgives me right from the beginning. That's why when Adam sinned, he said, you're going to die, but he did not kill him. He forgave him. When Cain sinned, he did not kill Cain. He forgave him. Hello? When David sinned, he did not kill him. He forgave him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now, this Jesus is crying out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? So remember, this Jesus is man, representing man. He's basically crying out the cry of a man who always thought that God had left him. And he's quoting Psalm 22. And if you read Psalm 22 ahead, you will realize that God had never left. Amen. Go ahead. Praise the Lord. And this is the gospel, my dear friends. And this is the real message of the cross. And this is the message which Jesus, Yeshu, came to reveal to us. That God, the universal God, the one God who created everything, he unconditionally loves us. Because God is love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you belong to any religion, but if you cannot love, and if you cannot understand that God is love, now you have missed to understand who God really is. Today, religions are fighting against religion. Denomination is fighting against denomination over doctrines, over everything, but missing out the real character of God, that is, God is love. That's why there are fights. The day every religion understands that God is unconditional love, the day every church, every denomination understands that God is unconditional love, then you will see that there will be no fights, no wars, no terrorism in this world.